This podcast episode contains discussion about abortion. This may be disturbing or triggering for some listeners. Listener discretion is advised.
I was just always perform, perform, perform. And in all honesty, that's exhausting and it's not living. And that's what I want moms to know. You know, like Pam said earlier, no matter what it is that you're trying to keep a secret or hide from or not deal with, you can't perform your way out of it.
This is the Single Mom Cast. I'm Mel Hyatt.
And I'm Pam Keneally.
Pam, and I'm so thankful we have a special guest today because we are discussing a very important yet delicate topic.
We are,
and
definitely.
Because of that, we are so thankful to have Lisa Mackey with us. Lisa, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Yes, you are zooming in all the way from the great state of Tennessee, we hear.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
You know, I want to share where I met Lisa. Lisa and I were at a Lifeway conference last year, and we had Arise Single Moms had a big booth with big, you know, stand-up posters and so forth, and hundreds of women were walking by our booth, and I kept noticing this little booth across the hallway from us to the left, and there's just this prettiest lady down there, and she had just pretty long hair, and so we eventually made our way over there to meet, you know, this woman, and she is with Deeper Still. They have a ministry called I'll let you talk about it, but it's a healing from abortion. And I was like, Lisa, would you come on our podcast? And your answer was?
Yes, I would love to. And I'm excited I'm here.
So here she is.
Yes,
I'm excited.
Thank you for saying yes, Lisa. Mm-hmm. Before we begin, is there anything you would like our listeners to know about you?
Yeah, there's funny story. I moved from California, actually. I am in Tennessee now, but in 2006, I moved from California to Tennessee because I worked for a corporation that was relocating. And I now am actually out of corporate America, became a farmer's wife, and raised goats. But along my journey in life, I actually was a single mom twice, not once, but twice. Mm-hmm. So I think I have a lot to connect with our listeners, and I think it's going to be a great conversation.
So we believe that too, Lisa. Thank you.
Absolutely. We're just super, super thrilled. So Lisa, tell us about the outreach of Deeper Still.
Well, as you said, what we do is we walk alongside women and men, but I'm going to address the women because that's who's listening today, who have made an abortion decision in their past and have regret. And some people don't even know how they feel because they've stuffed it. That's what I did. I didn't allow myself to feel anything about it. And that can be very tricky in life when you do that, not actually feel. So that's what we do. We have free and confidential healing retreats that last for a weekend. They go from Friday afternoon until Sunday afternoon. And like I said, it's absolutely free, and amazing things happen. And so we just want people to find freedom.
Lisa, when you were talking about that, you had mentioned that's what I did, stuffing things down. So I'm wondering if you would share a little bit about your story with our listeners and just what led you to, from having your experience to then being a part of Deeper Still.
Yes, with our ministry, what we say is say the hard thing first. And so what that is saying I had an abortion when I was 19. And for many people, like that's not, we say that first, but that was not where our story started. Usually there was something that got us to that dark place to make the decision that we would later regret. And in my case, you know, everybody's story is different, but in my case, I grew up in a non-Christian home with alcohol and violence that happened pretty frequently. And so from an early age, you know, I was ashamed of the things that were going on in our house. But I wasn't going to talk about it. I was one of six kids. The interesting thing is we didn't even talk to each other about it. And so we were all quiet. We didn't tell aunts, uncles, friends, neighbors. Like, we didn't talk to anybody. In California, the homes are really close together. The windows are open often because the weather's great. And so there's no way, with all that violence and all that was going on, that people couldn't hear. Yet we'd walk out the doors every day like, nothing's going on in there. You know, like, you know, it was, we hid, you know, we were going to keep the secret. And so from a young age, I learned the tools of shame and secrecy. So fast forward to my teenage years, when I was 15, my best friend's mother passed away instantly of a heart attack. And we got home from a basketball game just on time to see them loading her dead body into an ambulance. And then the following year, when I was 16, my 19-year-old brother committed suicide. Wow. And then the following year, when I was 17, my father died in a car accident drunk driving. And so all those deaths was just like, oh, my goodness, you know, and here my teenage mind processing all that. And nobody was speaking hope or life or truth into me. I didn't know anybody that was, you know, walking a journey that was filled with any of those things. And so I was just, you know, I was numb. I was numb because how do you, as a teenager, take all that in? But at the same time, I went, wow, life can end just like that at the snap of a finger. I'm going to live what we think is living. And so that's what I went on to do. I lived on full throttle. And I began drinking quite a bit. I'm really self-medicating. I did not want to feel anything about all the losses that I had just experienced. So I did that, and then, which also led to promiscuity. And so no surprise, at age 19, I would find myself pregnant in an unplanned, uncommitted relationship, an unplanned pregnancy, uncommitted relationship. And again, I would go to my famous tools of shame and secrecy, and I wouldn't tell anybody close to me. I was ashamed. So I wouldn't tell anybody close to me. In fact, I told a lady that I hardly knew, and she said, oh, don't worry, you can just get an abortion. In fact, I'll take you. Mm. And so that is, in fact, what I did the very next day. And so again, I was ashamed of what I had done, and I was going to keep it a secret. And that's exactly what I did. I kept it a secret for 29 years, not telling anybody. And so, that's what my journey in my abortion looked like.
You know, moms, you may be listening, and maybe yours isn't an abortion you're hiding, but maybe it's some other little shameful thing you're hiding. I think Mel and I would probably kick in and say we've all had lost shameful things we're hiding, have hidden, are hiding. I don't know, but it is common. It is common to be disappointed in yourself and to just do what you can do and stuff it and not tell anybody. And so if that's where you are today, please know that join the family and we love you and care for you, but even greater, I know there's an answer for you in stepping out of this entrapment. And so, you know, I love the fact that this has been, that was 19. There's been a journey that has followed from that day, Lisa, to you sitting here doing a podcast with us and having a huge outreach called Deeper Still. So what would you want women to know about the journey following an abortion?
That from that day on, I changed. I actually was very outgoing. You know, growing up, I was the kid that would greet the new kids in school. And I was, you know, I was an extrovert and just always doing that. And I then became very self-isolating because I didn't want anybody too close because I didn't want them to know what I had done. So I had very few friends. In my own, you know, I just became, my journey in general became suspicious of people, didn't trust people. And so, like I said, had very few friends, but a lot of that was due to insecurities. What manifested in me was a ton of insecurities, but also at the same time, just always searching searching for a guy that was going to fill whatever it is that I felt that was missing in me. And, you know, there's nothing usually ever healthy about that, to try to put somebody in that place that is supposed to be your happiness, or like that's not their job. And so I didn't realize that. But the big thing that, you know, in those insecurities, I had no idea my value, which actually got me into that position in the first place. I did not know my value. Like, I thought the best thing, the most important thing about me was sex, you know, and that's how I ended up pregnant in the first place. I had no clue of my own value. And so that's one thing that I would really want the listeners to know, that, you know, you have there's so much more to you than that. And I did not realize that. But so the journey afterwards was really a lot of brokenness, because I did operate from insecurities, had a lot of trust issues, didn't feel worthy actually of, you know, I had done this. So, oh my goodness, and what good guy would ever, you know, love me? And so I did. I settled for broken relationships. And that's why when I said I was single twice, I had actually walked through two divorces. And so it was really kind of a broken mess. But the interesting thing, I was in corporate America, is on the outside, I look buttoned up. You know, I worked out. I was, what this brought in me is nobody can know that I'm not perfect. So I set the bar high on being perfect. So I perform. It's like, oh my goodness, I have to be perfect in the corporate world. I have to be the ultimate mother. When I started having children, like, I made, you know, homemade cupcakes and cookies and wrapped them in this little packaging, like just all that. My kids had to be the best in sports. So I got them trainers. And those things in and of themselves isn't bad, but the reason why you're doing it could be an issue.
Yeah.
You know, and it was. I was just always perform. And in all honesty, that's exhausting and it's not living. And that's what I want moms to know. You know, like Pam said earlier, no matter what it is that you're trying to keep a secret or hide from or not deal with, you can't perform your way out of it. You actually have to unpack it and deal with it, because it is exhausting and it is not living.
Lisa, you are so wise.
You are so wise.
And I understand a lot of that wisdom has come from some of these traumatic experiences that you just so happened to live through. And for the sake of this podcast, I want to ask you a question that focuses on, I mean, we've heard a lot of the experiences you lived through that have created trauma, but yes, we've already heard a lot about healing. And I can just see it on your face and hear it in your voice. So I want to ask you, how has life changed since you received healing specifically from the wounds of abortion? And then what would you want moms to know about that healing? Because sometimes we just throw that word healing out there. So how's your life changed, and what would you like them to know?
Well, it was huge for me to discover that I was not the sum of my worst mistake. That because I had an abortion, yes, it was a decision that I grew to regret. But that was not the sum of who I am. Like, there was so much more to me. And in receiving healing, I got a whole new set of tools. Like, I got to lay down the tools of shame and secrecy, and I picked up the tools of self-worth and my true identity of just, you know, of who I am as a person and a woman, and just all these other gifts that I was blessed to receive, to walk through life with. And they weren't all the broken tools that I was walking through life with. And just the walk of healing ends up changing everything, because I would easily be offended, because I always thought, well, somebody meant something, you know, in that. Like, what I love to say is actually from Elisa Turkhurst book that I had read, is don't hear something that's not being said And that is often how we walk through life when we're wounded. We're assuming that people are either thinking something about us or saying something about us that they're not actually saying. You know, unless a person goes up to you and says, hey, you're a stupid jerk, you know, don't assume that that's what they're, you know, thinking. But it was just like really switching out some broken tools and switching them out for new healthy tools. And that's what, those are the things that I gained in my healing and just really was able, what healing helped me with was not only the abortion, but the things that led up to it. I healed from the things that led up to it. I healed from the things that happened after that, because when I began to live pretty reckless and, you know, being promiscuous is not a thing to be proud of, you know, in all honesty. So it's like, okay, how do I heal from that part? You know, how do I heal to sexual purity? And that was just really important also, you know, how do you just recover from all that? And you think that you can't, but oh, you can, and it changes everything. So it's really realizing that there is so much more to you than the mistakes that you've made in your life, and how you walk that out, walking forward, is just huge. It's important.
I love that you said it changes everything, and that whole perspective of even taking offense, right? So healing even changes not just what you do or say, but how you also hear other people. And that is just such an incredible point for anyone listening in this moment of how important healing is, and it impacts you and the people you sit in rooms with and your children. Yes. There's so much on the line.
Yes,
here, Pam.
There is. Well, I'm thinking too, maybe mom, you're listening and you're just saying, give me a few little things I can quote do right now to just start the process. You know, we are doers, and just give me a couple of do steps. And I happened to look on the internet to find some do steps today, Lisa, because I'm a doer. If I need to know I'm going to fix this or work on this, give me some to-do steps where I can start. Maybe, Mom, you need some to-do steps. And so, Lisa, help me with this. I looked up some self-forgiveness. Most of the times, women that, you know, would do something and feel shame about, there's some self-forgiveness that needs to happen there. But some of the things this little article said, and I'm concerned about I'm interested about the last two. It said, learn from your mistakes. Okay, you kind of talked about that. Focus on the present. You know, the present cannot be changed. You know, I get that. Seek support. And that's going to be my next question here in a minute. But challenge negative talk. You've just kind of already talked about that. Negative talk is that it was the internal dialogue where we just have so much negative things to say about ourselves. It's critical. It's judgmental. It's harsh. It beats you down. It makes you feel like you'll never get over it. And one was acknowledge your mistakes. We talked about that. But listen to this one. I've never thought about this. Apologize to yourself. So I want you to talk just a second. Apologize to yourself. And then the next one was practice self-compassion. Just for 2 seconds, can you talk about apologizing to yourself? Is that something that y'all teach in your retreats? What would that look like?
Yes, that actually it is. It falls under that forgiveness portion of it. Because a lot of women say that, I just can't forgive myself. Mm-hmm. And it is. It's going back to your, you know, we've even heard songs about what would you say to your younger you? You know, a lot of people make this decision when they're in a dark place, or they make it in a hurry because they think, I've got to do something right now. And so it's apologizing to your younger self about, you know, not being fully developed in your brain. I mean, often we make this decision earlier in life, not always, but often. And so, you know, our brain doesn't even develop until we're 25, you know, or we make it in when we're in a trauma-induced state, you know, from different things. And so we get to that place, and it's like giving ourselves a break. So often we give other people a break, you know, but we are really hard on ourselves. And as women, we're really hard on ourselves because it is this whole, I've got to be everything to everyone. And we're the only one that puts that expectation on ourselves. So just that apologizing to ourselves is a huge thing. Like, you know, you weren't aware the depth of this decision. and you weren't aware. You know, and so often we don't. There's a real, people make a big disconnect of that this is just an event, and it's coming to the reality. Like, this wasn't just an event. Like, this was a child, and the further step is this was my child. And when they make that connection, then they can actually start healing. But when we keep that separate, we don't allow ourselves to step into the place of healing. Mm-hmm. And so it is important to say, okay, let's walk forward. Let's walk forward. And first, let's start with forgiving ourselves for being completely unaware, or for listening to the voice of the world telling me that it's okay, and that I'll be fine with it, and that it won't affect me, and that it wasn't the truth. So give yourself a break on hearing lies, you know, and that, you know, and sometimes we, like I said, we give other people a break. Mm-hmm. It's giving ourselves a break and saying, yeah, okay, I was completely unaware that this one decision will be far reaching into other things in my life, and down the road, if and when I do have kids, that it'll affect them if, yeah, I don't seek healing. Because that's what we don't understand is, you know, and back to that healing question, I raised three sons from a broken place, and, you know, and it wasn't fair to them. And it actually impacted me as a mom in many ways, and we don't realize it. So it's like giving yourself that forgiveness and giving and having compassion. Have the same compassion on you that you would have on somebody else, because that's one question I always ask. What would you say to if they had a daughter, what would you say to your daughter? And then there's just always this kindness and, you know, extended. And it's like, okay, so why then can't you receive that for yourself?
Yeah.
You know, and that's what they need to look at. What would you give to a friend, a daughter, somebody else, then receive that for yourself?
I think this is even more important for single moms, because for me, those voices get really loud, like later at night, and you're laying in that bed alone, and there's no one when you're like, oh, I was a horrible person today, or I wasn't a good mom today. There's no one there as a partner going, that's not true. You are a great person. You are a great mom. It's just you and yourself. And I remember I was in counseling once. I must have been having one of those pity party moments where I was being hard on myself. My counselor had me write a letter to my very best friend. We were pretending like she had just made a really big mistake. And I wrote this graceful letter and reminding her, you know, who she is and her value. And my counselor had me fold it up and put it in an envelope. And a couple of days later, it came in my mailbox addressed to me. She had wrote, "Dear Mel," and I had wrote this whole grace-filled thing, and then it said, "Love, Mel," and she put a sticky note on it and said, "I want you to read this to yourself in the mirror." And that was awkward and painful and so incredible for me to remember to talk to myself like I would my best friend. And like you said, it trickles over. Like, what if we teach our kids to do that? Pam, I always say this thing. One of my boys is like really hard on himself, and I always say, "Hey, don't talk about my son that way."
That's cute.
He'll be like, "Yeah, I'm just dumb." Hey, don't talk about my son that way. You know,
I love that.
And we have to tell ourselves that.
I love it.
Don't talk about that incredible woman that way. Don't talk about, you
exactly
know, that warrior that way.
You know what? It's also vital to understand that making mistakes is just a natural part of the human experience.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone does wrong.
Sometimes. I mean, I have like once or twice.
Oh, sure. Okay. Well, then I need to bring a halo in here next time I come in and place it on your little head.
I have one
you
in
have
my
one.
Bag.
Oh, okay. I'll listen to you. Well, how about that? But, you know, what Lisa was just talking about was practicing self-compassion. So moving forward, I want to think about maybe the woman who's had an abortion, or maybe you haven't had an abortion. But how can either of those be a safe place, Lisa, for family and friends to heal from these other people's wounds of abortion? How can that happen?
No, I love that question, just because that actually is what we've really been championing everywhere we go and speak. And, you know, I just spoke at a women's conference, and we can all be a safe place. You know, whether that's been our past or not, because that's the idea that people think, oh, only somebody that has walked the same journey as me, you know, will understand. And we want everyone to know, even if it's not your story, how they can be a safe place in just bringing it up in their circle of friends, you know, bringing it up in their family, because this is an issue that's not talked about widely. It just isn't. It's the unforgivable thing, you know, that people like, oh, nobody can talk about it. It makes everybody uncomfortable. Well, we as women need to start talking about the things that are uncomfortable so that the people that we love can either heal or not walk into the same trap. And that's what love is. That's what love is. It's talking about the hard things to be there for others. And when we bring it up and say, you know what, I just don't want anybody that I know to hurt, because there's a lie out there that people are suffering in silence. But a lot of times this manifests in self-hatred, in anxiety, depression, addictions, and the list goes on and on. But all those things trickle over to all the people around us that we love, whether it's our family, the people that we work with, people that we do ministry, people we do life with. There's nothing silent about those symptoms. And so that's just truly a false thing that people are suffering in silence. Yes, they're suffering and not talking about it, but it's not silent. They're actually screaming for help. And so let's be that safe place of, man, I wouldn't want anybody that I know to be thinking that they have nowhere to go with this secret. And so I just want any of you to know, if this is your journey, please know that I wouldn't judge you. Like, I just want to be there for you. I want to be, you know, the safe place that you can talk about. And let's look at how, you know, what steps we can walk to and you possibly healing. Just opening that up has actually been huge. I meet with women all the time that, you know, that tell me, hey, I know my friend or my niece or somebody has gone through this. How can I help them? And that sort of, and it might just start with that. And then their person will confide in them. And then they'll just meet with them, you know, a few more times. And it might not be instantaneous. So it's not, well, there's this retreat, you know, don't like not immediately shove that in their face, but get to that point of where there's that open door to say, hey, you know, there's this place that we know of that can help you heal. And it's gaining their trust in being able to open that door. But they have to see that they can talk to you about it without judgment.
Yeah. Lisa, you had brought up the retreat. We talked a little bit about it before, and I love this, that you are not just creating these resources that go out into the world, but you're also creating the safe space for connection. Talk to us about the retreat and how a mom could get registered and connected to that. Because I think this is so, I love that you do this.
Right. Well, retreats, you know, my best analogy about retreats is that, you know, when somebody has an addiction, we encourage them. We encourage them to recover from that. Mm-hmm. We encourage them to get healing and get freedom from that. And there's 12 steps involved in that. Well, if there's 12 steps in recovering from addiction, there's going to be at least that many steps in recovering for choosing anything but life for your unborn child. And in fact, there are 14 steps, and we're there to walk alongside women, because the big thing is, we don't know what we don't know.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and there's a lot of times that, you know, I know I'm forgiven and I'm okay. Or, you know what, I've been able to talk about it before. But there's a major difference between forgiveness and healing. And so we want to walk along all the steps of healing with them so that they can truly walk out on the other side and find freedom. Because, man, freedom is, it's like nothing I can explain.
Yeah. You know what?
But for moms to be able to do that, they can register. They can register online. They can pull up our national, because since you guys are in Oklahoma, correct? Mm-hmm. So they can, wherever they are hearing this, we are one of 30 chapters across the nation. And so our national website is deeperstill.org. So they can find the location closest to them. We all have different dates for our retreats, and so they can find the retreat date that works best for them. Our specific chapter here in Tennessee, we are deeper still, uppercumberland.org. So if they want to find our retreat, they can find us. Our spring retreat is full. So our next retreat is in September. But what I want to share with you, by telling you it's full, that's how women are knowing, you know what, I want this healing. And a lot of times it's from the testimony of somebody else that went and got healing, went, oh my goodness, this changed my world. Because it did. I went through my healing in 2014 and it radically changed my life.
Well, Lisa, on your website, you had a testimony on there from Emily, who had had an abortion at 19. And she said 20 years later, she said she had no clue that the weight she was still carrying. The testimony went on to say, after attending a deeper still retreat, she received a deeper healing she didn't know she needed or was available to her. She's now fully healed and her heart has been set free. And the thing that jumped out at me was this. She said, I knew God had forgiven me, but I didn't realize the load I was carrying. Mm-hmm. And what a great statement. What a great testimony for your conference. What a great testimony for your retreat.
Yeah, I loved that you said there's a difference in forgiveness and healing. And forgiveness can be like this decision, but healing is like this steps. You said there's specifically 14 that you guys or whoever has discovered that is a help, and that it's just that, right? And we have to just keep stepping and keep stepping. And so, Lisa, I want you to just maybe close your eyes and think of a woman you know that is on that journey or considering that journey. And I'm wondering, what is one final thing that you would like to say to our listeners and to her today?
I know it sounds scary. I know it sounds like, why on earth would I want to open that up and unpack it? But when you don't, when you just stuff it, you become numb and you don't allow yourself to feel about that or about a whole lot of other things. And it can even stop you from feeling joy at the level that you're intended to feel. It's good to feel. And what I would encourage and say is, do it afraid. Mm-hmm. Do it afraid, because you don't realize how much it's impacting in your life. It's impacting far more than you realize. And it's okay. It's okay to do it afraid, because what is on the other side of healing is beautiful. It is joyful. It is a true freedom. I know when I left my retreat, I drove away and the sky was blue, blue. The grass was green, green, like I had never seen. And I was like, oh my goodness, what I realized is I had been living life through this gray screen of guilt and shame, and I couldn't see the true colors of the world. And I now see everything in the brilliance of just a healed person, a joyful person, a free person. And that is what I want for all of you listening. If you wonder, what's the point? The point is freedom.
I do love that. Wow, that is so wonderful. I bet every woman listening is saying, would you come to my town? I know they are. Would you come to my town or would you come to my country? I know what the moms are thinking. You know what? In closing, I think what I've heard from you is that all this stepping towards healing involves a process, and you mentioned, well, go ahead and start it afraid. And I love that you said that. But so I would say to moms, trust the process. Just trust the process that God wants to tenderly walk you through the painful past and into healing and hope. And He wants to do it right where you are, not where you need to be, but you got to start exactly where you are. And something we haven't mentioned yet is that the reason why we can speak of complete forgiveness is because of what Christ did for us on the cross, offering us forgiveness of all that we have done. Women sometimes question their ability for forgiveness because they're viewing it through a human experience or from a lens of humanity. It's not humanly possible, but Christ did it. He did it that you might be set free. You know, I love 1 John 1:9 says, if we freely admit that we have sinned and confess our mistakes, he is faithful and just. That means he's true to his own nature and promises, and he will forgive us and continually, I like that word, continually, continually, day after day, cleanse us from all the negative thoughts and all of the unrighteousness. And I just want to close real quick with this story, Mel and Lisa. I had gone into TJ Maxx the other day with this little card, a gift card, and I'd set the counter, and I think I had $79 left on it, and she looked at it, and she said, your card is all used up. And I'm like, what? And it just stopped to make me think that some women are fully convinced that they have sinned so much, so long, too greatly to be forgiven, and they feel like they have used up all their forgiveness card. Not true. The forgiveness card that God offers through Christ, you and me, is a card that is without limit. From now until the day you see him. And I used my card yesterday, Lord, forgive me for this. And there's still credit on there, and there will be. So, Mom, there's hope. There is hope. You don't have to be defined by what has happened in your past. I want you to know the past is a place to learn from, but it is not a place to live in. And so release it. Determined to move forward like Lisa has encouraged you today. And know that there is freedom from the emotional wounds of your abortion.